Hello, hello out there, Pinky Podsters, and here I am, having once recorded this for over an hour, tried to edit it, and Audacity was being audacious and just wasn't working right, and then I just had to lose the whole thing. And at first I was kind of upset, and then I thought, you know what, I can do a better episode, I can do that better. And then I opened Audacity after resetting everything, and it showed that I could recover that project. And I said, you know what? Nope, I don't want it, because it wasn't good enough. So now you know that backstory. So now I have a fresh Guinness, and I'm ready to go. And we're just going to get right to it. They say pride goeth before a fall. Do you know where that comes from? Lucifer's fall? The morning star? Most people instantly think of the devil when they think of Lucifer. You might even know that TV show, the one that's inspired by a Neil Gaiman version of Lucifer. They even call him Lucifer Morningstar. I think that's awesome. Do you know that show, by the way? I started watching it, and 5 minutes in, I completely understand the charm. Oh, yes, I do. And his name is Tom. It's a fun show. But here's the thing. Lucifer, who is actually an angel, right? He's a fallen angel, supposedly. Is he really the devil? Was he even in the Bible? Where does this entire fallen angel story even come from? I'm going to first tell you that when I first was looking into this, and just my own knowledge of it, I avoided purely Christian sources because they weren't going to give me certain details that I wanted to share with you, that I was after. Of course, we are going to get into it because you kind of have to after a certain point. But just disclosure there, I wanted to go beyond that. Now, you have heard of him, as I already mentioned, as the Morning Star. Yes? Now, what is the Morning Star? Why is he called that? Because it's the planet Venus, which can often be seen in the early a.m. at dawn. You can also call him the Shining One or the Lightbringer. Does any of that sound evil to you so far? Well, I'm going to make a case to you that it most certainly is not. And as a matter of fact, before this is over, we are going to make a case that Jesus is Lucifer. But not the Lucifer as you think of him. So if you haven't left me yet, Christian listeners, stay with me, because I'm not the only one who's ever said this. Lucifer is a noun, and it is the Latin name for the planet Venus. Well, I should rephrase that. It doesn't translate to Venus. Okay, let me just go on with what I've written here. In Greco-Roman times, Venus, the planet, not the goddess, which is actually correlated to Aphrodite. Yes, that's how you say it, or at least some Greeks say it. Not that Venus. But the planet was personified and considered a god, even at times considered the son of Aurora, which is the dawn. This name, or a similar name, is used by Roman poet Catullus, who lived from 84 to 54 BCE. And there's a name he used called Noctifer, which is the Nightbringer, which is because Venus can also be seen at night, the evening star. As Lucifer in Roman folklore, it was often personified as a male figure with a torch, which makes sense. You got the morning light, right? In Greek, names for Venus as planet were Phosphorus, Lightbringer, Heosphorus, Dawnbringer, and Lucifer, the Latin again, is the correspondence to that. So you could say actually Lucifer would be like Lightbringer, not Venus itself. Poets are who especially like to personify Lucifer in mythological context, but it was also used in astronomical context. Have you made the correlation to Jesus yet, my clever people out there? Well, stick with me. I have a quote for you from a 2nd century mythographer, Pseudo-Hyginus. The fourth star is that of Venus, Luciferus by name. Some say it is Juno's. In many tales, it is recorded that it is called Hesperus too. It seems to be the largest of all stars. Some have said it represents the son of Aurora, Encephalus, who surpassed many in beauty, so that he even vied with Venus. And, as Eratosthenes says, for this reason it is called the Star of Venus. It is visible at both dawn and sunset, and so properly has been called both Luciferus and Hesperus. Now, I know it almost sounds like he's talking there about two different things, like Venus the planet, Venus the star, Venus the goddess. I think what he is saying is that Luciferus, as that planet or the morning star, is the star of the goddess Venus. That's what I'm getting from that. Two separate things. Ovid, who is a Latin poet, wrote a first century epic titled Metamorphosis, and he describes Lucifer as ordering the heavens. Ovid also makes Lucifer the father of Deidaleon, a great warrior, and Ceyx, C-E-Y-X, I might not be saying that right, who was half of a duo that angered Zeus, which is a very common theme in Greek mythology. Latin grammarian Servius makes Lucifer the father of Hesperides or Hesperus, the nymphs of golden light, of sunsets, and the daughter of Hesperus, mother of Hesperides, by Atlas, respectively. Now, it can be said that a motif of heavenly beings striving for the highest seat only to be cast down or fall down is really just based in the movements of Venus, the planet. It's quite logical. You see it in the morning. It's the brightest thing. And people still call it a star, even though we know it's a planet. So it's the brightest star, right? You also see it in the evening. So you have the rise and the fall. It's invisible during the day. So it would seem like it just fell, eh? You didn't track it through the day. Themes of being cast down go back, way back to stories like Ithana and Zu from Mesopotamian religions. It's also found in Canaanite myth. I think I wrote this wrong. There's Attar, but also maybe Ashtar, who is the star, who tried to take Baal's throne and, unable to do so, descends into the underworld. And there's lots of stories like that. We don't need to tell you all of them. I will tell you a couple of those straight from something I want to read to you, actually. I think I already just told you that. I wanted to look up, I'm not going to tell you all of them, but there is the Sumerian goddess Inanna. Babylonian is Ishtar, which is also associated with the planet Venus. And Inanna's actions in several of her myths, including one called Inanna and Shekalatura, I butchered that, I'm sure, and Inanna's descent into the underworld appear to parallel the motions of Venus. Similar theme, Babylonian myth of Etana. So the Jewish encyclopedia says, the brilliancy of the morning star, which eclipses all other stars but is not seen during the night, may easily have given rise to a myth such as was told of Ithana and Zu. That's the one I think I had said that wrong. That's one I just told you about. Led by his pride to strive for the highest seat among the star gods of the northern mountain of gods, but was hurled down by the supreme ruler of the Babylonian Olympus. How do you like that? But we'll get to some Christian stuff, because we need to know, how did Lucifer end up being associated with the devil? This is what we want to know, first of all. In the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, the king of Babylon is condemned in a prophetic vision by the prophet Isaiah and is called Hillel ben Shakar, Hebrew for Shining One, Son of the Morning. The title Hillel ben Sahar refers to the planet Venus as the morning star, and that's how the Hebrew word is usually interpreted. The Hebrew word transliterated as Hillel occurs only once in the Hebrew Bible. The Septuagint renders this in Greek as Hios Foros, bringer of dawn, ancient Greek name for the morning star, which I already gave you. The Vulgate renders it in Latin as Lucifer, morning star. According to the King James Bible, based on Strong's Concordance, the original Hebrew word means shining one or light bearer. An English translation given in the King James text is the Latin name for the planet Venus or Lucifer. However, this translation as Lucifer has been abandoned in many modern English translations of Isaiah 14:12. They just took to straight morning star, and they list a New International Version, New Century Version, New American Standard Bible, Good News Translation, Holman Christian Standard Bible, Contemporary English Version, Common English Bible, Complete Jewish Bible, Day Star, New Jerusalem Bible, The Message, Day Star, also in New Revised Standard Version, English Standard Version, and Shining One, New Life Version, New World Translation, JPS Tonk, or Shining Star in the New Living Translation. Not Lucifer, they don't use that. So in the modern translations of the original Hebrew, the passage in which the phrase Lucifer or Morning Star would have occurred would be one on the day the Lord gives you relief from your suffering and turmoil and from the harsh labor forced on you, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has come to an end, how his fury has ended. And after describing the death of this king, it continues, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you, they ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a wilderness, who overthrew its cities and would not let his captives go home? Now, this is an unnamed king of Babylon. That is a rise and fall. But it's not the devil. A wide range of identities for this has been proposed, including a Babylonian ruler of prophet Isaiah's own time, or the Nebuchadnezzar II, under whom Babylonian captivity of Jews began. There's Nabonidus, if I said that right, and the Assyrian kings Tiglath-Pileser, Sargon II, and Sennacherib. Verse 20 says that this king of Babylon will not be joined with them, all the kings of the nations, in his burial, because he has destroyed the land, slain the people. The seed of evildoers shall not be named forever, but rather cast out of the grave, while all the kings of the nations, they all sleep in glory, right? And he won't. Someone named Herbert Wolf held that the king of Babylon was not a specific ruler, but a representation of an entire line of rulers. This is not a new idea either. If you are familiar with King Arthur, who probably was actually just a battle chieftain, because the oldest tales, probably Welsh, the Mabinogian, and they were oral traditions before they were even written down, it would be a battle chieftain. Some have posited in the past that it could just be a personification of many different people. I think people have even said that about Ragnar, who, if you've watched Vikings, or maybe you've even at least heard of them, there was a real person. But I know I've seen it suggested that maybe he wasn't just one person. I don't know. I didn't get that deep into Ragnar, but I did play Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So this is not a new idea. Merlin, although Merlin really is probably just a title. And not a person, not a person's name. I digress. So, as the devil, this metaphor of the morning star that Isaiah 14:12 applied to a king of Babylon then gave rise to this use of the Latin word for morning star, really for Venus, also, as a name for the devil and the fall from grace, even though it doesn't mean devil or anything of the sort. They would link Isaiah 14:12 with Luke 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus said that. And so they interpreted this passage in Isaiah as an allegory of Satan's fall. So you consider that pride is a major sin, and it culminates in self-deification. So Lucifer, Hillel, became a template for the devil in these interpretations. So as that result, Lucifer is identified with the devil in Christianity and in Christian popular literature. But where you really get going on it is stuff like Dante Alighieri's Inferno, or the Divine Comedy. It's the entire thing is the Divine Comedy, but that part is the Inferno. I have it. Yeah. That is really responsible for a lot of stuff. You have Joost van den Vondel's Lucifer and John Milton's Paradise Lost, of course. Early medieval Christianity actually separated them, though. There was Lucifer and there was Satan. So Lucifer, as the devil, is fixated in hell, but Satan executes the desires of Lucifer as his vassal, like his emissary. But then there's theologians that make no distinction between Lucifer and Satan at all. Are you noticing anything here yet? These are all interpretations. And did you hear how many versions of the Bible that I just read to you? I have a problem with that already. It's like a game of telephone. So in case you hadn't noticed yet, there is no definitive, and I'm spoiler alert, there is no definitive moment where, hey, Lucifer is a fallen angel and a devil. Lucifer was a planet, a word used for a planet before Christianity. It's Latin. Let's skip over to Gnosticism. Since Lucifer's supposed sin consists of self-deification, pride, some Gnostic sects identify Lucifer with a creator deity in the Old Testament, right? That guy. The serpent, right? The serpent in the garden, you know, Adam and Eve, da da da. One thing I've noticed in a lot of this as well, though, is that he gets in trouble for bringing knowledge to people. And that reminds me of people like Prometheus, you know, bringing fire to anybody who's helping humans and giving them knowledge is somehow now evil. And given the current political climate, I don't think you need somebody to make you evil, okay? But it's funny how I know they don't want us to be educated. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to get political. I've already had my rants. But there's also here in the Pacific Northwest the story of Raven, who brought fire to humans. And the reason that he is black is because he got too close to the sun and he was singed. So there's a lot of stories like that. And so to me already so far, if you're going to take Lucifer as a personification of something other than a planet, I kind of think he might have got a bum rap. But shall we keep going? So there's a Cathar text, which when I came across this, it blew my mind. I don't want to spoil anything, but Cathars came up for me in something completely unrelated to this podcast, and they were a super progressive group of Christians clear back in the 12th century. They believed in a good God and a bad God, and this they were persecuted because you couldn't have what they were about to say, for one thing. The good God was Jesus, and the bad God was the old God of the Old Testament. It wasn't the devil. It was the guy in the Old Testament, which I'm inclined to agree with them. They believed in reincarnation. They were vegetarians. They believed that procreation was like a moral sin because why continue the suffering of people? Ooh! So one way that they could be arrested for heresy is like they were unmarried, because obviously if they weren't married, they weren't going to have kids, right? Right. I think there was women could rise up to very high ranks in there. So basically everything was relaxed and groovy. And the other Christians were like, no, 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 we can't have that. This was during a time, actually, the Episcopal Inquisition. There's been quite a few Inquisitions. Yeah. So Cathars were bad guys in some of those. Little side note for you. So they have a text, the Gospel of the Secret Supper, where Lucifer is a glorified angel, but fell from heaven to establish his own kingdom. And he became the demiurge, when he demurge, we created the material world and trapped souls from heaven inside matter, which to me sounds like something I've said about, like, maybe hell is actually just here on earth, or it's at least purgatory. And Jesus descended to earth to free the captured souls. And in contrast with mainstream Christianity, the cross was denounced as a symbol of Lucifer and his instrument in the attempt to kill Jesus, which I do find interesting because he was crucified on that cross. Now you have the Latter-day Saints. Lucifer is regarded within that movement as a pre-mortal name of the devil. So I don't know, do they think that he became mortal? Mormon theology teaches that in a heavenly council, Lucifer rebelled against the plan of God the Father and was cast out. That sounds very familiar, right? After becoming Satan by his fall, Lucifer goeth up and down, to and fro in the earth, seeking to destroy the souls of men. That sounds like the planet again, going up and down. And members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints consider Isaiah 14:12, where is that mention of actually just some king? They think it's referring to the king and the devil. How convenient. So we go from, well, it's king. No, it's the devil. Ah, no, it's both. Let's just do both. Let's just do both. There is something called anthroposophy, which was started by, or the basis of, was Rudolf Steiner's writings, characterized Lucifer as a spiritual opposite to Ahriman, with Christ between the two forces, mediating a balanced path for humanity. Lucifer represents an intellectual, imaginative, delusional, otherworld force which might be associated with visions, subjectivity, psychosis, and fantasy. He associated Lucifer with the religious philosophical cultures of Egypt, Rome, and Greece, and he believed that Lucifer, as a supersensible being, capital being, had incarnated in China about 3,000 years before the birth of Christ. Then you have Luciferianism. Why can I never say this word? Luciferin, the way it's spelled, Lucifer. I'm gonna skip that part and say Luciferism, which I'm probably saying it wrong. But oh my God, I don't know why that's so hard. We'll get more into that later. A very quick summary is that they venerate these fundamental traits, like knowledge and not prostrating yourself before a deity, not organized, religions. Maybe a little bit like Satanists, I would sort of consider them humanists. If they don't like that, you can hit me up on Twitter at PodPinky and say that you're not. But it's not a devil, but even maybe almost a savior. He brought free will. He brought knowledge. He brought, whatever. There's also, of course, Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible, where Lucifer is one of the four crown princes of hell, particularly that of the East. Yeah, we can't just have one. There's four. And the Lord of the Air. But he's also called the Bringer of Light, the Morning Star, brings intellectualism and enlightenment. So there was a little Freemasonry moment where this guy, Leo Taxil, who lived from 1854 to 1907, claimed that Freemason were associated with worshiping Lucifer, so much so that he came up with this entire freaking hoax. I thought you might appreciate this. He alleged that a leading Freemason, Albert Pike, had addressed the 23 Supreme Confederated Councils of the World, which was something Taxil made up, which instructed them that Lucifer was God. And Taxil promoted this book by Diana Vaughan, which was actually written by Leo, that purported to reveal a highly secret ruling body called the Palladium, which, funnily enough, I'm pretty sure I've heard in role-playing games, which controlled the organization and had a satanic agenda. So there's this little bit, though, from Freemasonry disclosed in 1897. With frightening cynicism, the miserable person we shall not name here, Taxil, declared before an assembly especially convened for him that for 12 years he had prepared and carried out to the end the most sacrilegious of hoaxes. We have always been careful to publish special articles concerning Palladism and Diana Vaughan. We are now giving in this issue a complete list of these articles, which can now be considered as not having existed. So supporters of Freemasonry assert that when Albert Pike and other Masonic scholars spoke about supposedly a Luciferian path or the energies of Lucifer, they were referring to the morning star, the light bearer, the search for light, the very antithesis of dark. Pike says in Morals and Dogma, Lucifer, son of the morning, it is he who bears the light, and with its splendors intolerable, blinds feeble, sensual, or selfish souls, doubt it not. Apparently a whole lot has been made of that quote. I wonder if that's one of the reasons that people have, think that Freemasons, some wrong going on there. We are now going to go, though. I was going to say this for the last, but let's go ahead and go to rivalnations.org. Lucifer is Jesus. Uncovering the Luciferian plot to confuse you. Many people think that Lucifer is a name. Many people think that Lucifer is the devil's name. Many people are incorrect. Lucifer isn't a name, and definitely not a name for the devil. Lucifer isn't even a word originally from the Bible, which I have just told you. Where does Lucifer come from? And they reiterate what I have told you, but I'll tell you again. Lucifer is a Latin word meaning light bearer, possibly translated from the Hebrew word halel, which means shining one. And that term is used only one time in the Bible as a poetic reference to the king of Babylon. So Hillel has zero, zilch, nada to do with Satan. And King James Version translates Hillel to the word Lucifer, but most other English translations apparently do not. The most common translation is they just say morning star. Now, in biblical scholarship, and just if you just read it plainly, morning star is a reference to the king of Babylon, which I also told you. And we talked about how I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will make myself like the Most High. It's not saying that he did this, but he wanted to. Babylonian kings often consider themselves to be gods among men. The prophet Isaiah is using well-worn mythological language to highlight the king's arrogance and pride. Isaiah uses the term morning star as a reference to their hubris, to constitute an appropriate critique of Babylonian kings and conquerors and to explain their inevitable downfall. While the word Hillel only appears once in the Hebrew Bible, the word has cognates in Akkadian, Ugaritic, and Arabic. The Septuagint is the Greek translation that I told you about. Targum is Aramaic translation, and the Vulgate has the Latin translations. They all translate Hillel as morning star. The Hebrew expression was never meant to be a name. Even the Vulgate text in Latin is printed with a lowercase l, Lucifer, morning star, not uppercase Lucifer, proper name. In summary, the word Hillel, Hebrew word, means shining one. When they translated it to Latin as Lucifer, means light bearer, nothing to do with Satan, the planet Venus. So they're with me so far. They're with what I told you. We're all in agreement so far. Here's one person's reason why, they did research, it's not just their reason. Morning star is Jesus. Since this Hebrew word Hillel, Lucifer, and Phosphoros, lightbringer, Hiosphoros, dawnbringer, in Greek, and since Lucifer was the Latin name for the planet Venus, the brightest star in the dawn of the morning, likewise the same holds true for Phosphoros or Hiosphoros, names and terms for the planet Venus, morning star, day star. The morning star was a symbol of power and royalty in Greco-Roman times. The word Phosphoros only appears once in the New Testament in reference to Jesus. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star, Phosphoros, rises in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:19. While Phosphoros only appears once, the word for star is used many times as an epithet for the Messiah, Numbers 24:17, Isaiah 9:2, and in Revelation 2 times Jesus is referred to as the morning star, Revelation 2:28. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12, 9:5, 12:4-6. All over the New Testament, Jesus is described as a light shining in the darkness. Luke 2:32, John 1:4, 7:9, 3:19, 12:35, 2 Corinthians 4:6, Ephesians 5:14, 1 Peter 2:9, John 2:8, Matthew 4:15 and 16. As Jesus says, he is the bright morning star. The word Lucifer doesn't even mean Satan. So why does pop culture think it does? Some people might point to something that Jesus said to his disciples in the book of Luke, and that is the one where I told you. But this is a, you know, where I saw Satan fall. But here's a fuller context. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Luke 10:17. When the 72 said that even demons submit to his name, Jesus said that he saw Satan fall. In a famous commentary, I guess, by Joel Green, he explains, some find in Jesus' assertion a reference to a primordial event or an event in the life of Jesus himself, but neither of these options makes sense of the actual ongoing exercise of satanic influence in a Lucan narrative. The decisive fall of Satan is anticipated in the future, but it is already becoming manifest through the mission of Jesus and, by extension, through the ministry of his envoys. So Jesus uses the apocalyptic imagery that recalls the downfall of the king of Babylon from Isaiah. Essentially, Jesus is conflating the king of Babylon, human government, pagan cities, and Satan, the god of nations. Jesus isn't saying that Isaiah was talking about Satan, or much less so that later a Latin translation was providing Satan's true name, as pop culture suggests. The idea that Isaiah 14 could also be referring to Satan originated with the early church father Origen, Tertullian, and Jerome followed suit, but that idea was never widespread at all until around the medieval 14th century. The popularity of Lucifer as a name for Satan can be mainly attributed to its use in fiction, such as, and here we go again, Paradise Lost and Dante Alighieri's Inferno. They solidified this idea that that was Lucifer. In the Inferno, you have, you know, Lucifer, whoever was cast out, and he was hit the ground with such force that it created this hole all the way down into nine circles of hell. And that's where you also get quite a lot of the images of the winged creature with cloven hooves, and actually his has three heads, and each one is eating a different sinner or something like that. And he has a trident, which is so uncool. How are you going to do that to Poseidon? Just not cool. And so people still put these two things together. And okay, even if you don't think Jesus is Lucifer, Lucifer is not the devil. They were never the same thing. And I lost it now from the first time I did it, but I had also read something that someone had also spun it to make that king actually Satan, or that it was Satan's fault. Oh, yes. This is my problem with the Christian sources. I don't think I pulled it up again. I did go to one purely, you know, all about the Bible or something.com, a very Christian source. And they talked about how that king could not have been human, because no human would ever say that. They would never say that they were higher than God. Okay, already, excuse you? Really? Because all I have to do is look around the world right now and see a whole lot of quote-unquote evil mofos, and nobody had to make them do it. So, yeah, one of the things I read is that it couldn't be that king because Satan made him do it, so obviously Satan is what they're referring to when they talk about Lucifer. Do you see why I blew that one off? I'm not going to read that one. Another version of this idea of Jesus as Lucifer or Morning Star. I think this is not, I think English was not their first language when I first looked through this. The grammar is a little, you can just tell. So bear with me if I, when I pick out the parts. It's a phonia.com. Oh God, did I even tell you what the other one was? Well, I'll put it in the show notes. The other one was rivalnations.org, and this is phonia.com. They also mention Isaiah and, how you fell from heaven, O Lucero, which I think is Spanish, so they're Spanish, son of the morning. This exhortation is given to the prophet Isaiah to be told to the king of Babylon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we know all of that story. We know all of that story, right? We know that it means shining one. You remember, you're with me, right? If you break down Lucifer, the Latin word is composed of lux, which means light, and fer, which means carrier, transport, light bearer, right? So the term Luciferus and the Spanish Lucero are the same, with the same meaning. The term Lucifer was not an evil character among the first religious communities, so much so that there are several hymns of the early Christians that grant Jesus the title of Lucifer, as is the case with Christian poet Prudentio in Psychomachia, or the Lucus Largitur Splendid, which contains the expression, "You are the true bearer of the light of the world," which is literally, "You are the true Lucifer of the world." You have to divorce yourself from what you think Lucifer is, by the way, if you're still here and not pissed at me. It's not a proper name. You have to divorce yourself from that and keep going back to what it actually translates to follow, to come with me on this, okay? There are medieval hymns, Christ qui lux et dies, which means you are the light of Christ who dies. Some manuscripts have the line, Proferens lucem Lucifer, which means bringing the light of Lucifer. Because if you translate these to other languages, that's what it's going to be, my friends. It's going to translate to Lucifer, Lucero, as this is saying, which is the reason I wanted to go to a page that didn't seem to be originally English. There's a prayer made in the proclamation of Easter in relation to the Easter cereal. You can see the Latin expression, Flammas eos Lucifer matutinus inveniet. I probably butchered that. In Spanish, the prayer goes this way. The flame was found still burning thanks to Lucifer, the morning star who never sets. Christ, your son, who, coming from the domain of death, has stripped himself of his quiet light in humanity and lives and reigns for centuries and centuries. Here's an example of how I know this is not originally, English is not their language. Here's a direct reading of one sentence. As a general rule, the Latin word Lucifer is poured into Spanish as a morning star. It's kind of charming. Now they go farther, though. This question can go farther, as they say. And there is a J. Lalemant, author of a book, The Hidden Truths of the Bible, argues that a more explicit reference regarding Jesus is possible to find in the Bible. Revelation 22, 16, where Jesus says, I am the shining star of the morning. In other words, he expresses that he is Lucifer, the shining star of dawn. But the reason why first Christians might have granted the title of Lucifer to Jesus is because they saw in him not only the fall, but his, they say, sequence. He is raised to the point of becoming a solar deity, the new illuminator of the world. Follow? I think they make an extremely good case. And if you're going to go with all of these other interpretations from one little passage from Isaiah that doesn't even say devil in the first place and is just going to Spanish and Latin and Greek for shining light, Venus, morning star, then this is just as justifiable, in fact, maybe more so, because that's actually the translation. How you like me now? Do you want to know a little bit about Luciferianism? Well, I still can't say this. Why is that so difficult? Lucifer Ianism. So according to learnreligions.com, it's not really a religion, but a belief system that it's often confused with Satanism because, again, people think that Lucifer is Satan, which false. They idolize, or I should say, it's about seeking knowledge from within and without. a lot of self-responsibility, accept consequences of your own actions. They don't necessarily have a problem with you hit me, I'll hit you, so to speak. You know, they're not passive. They're if you have done something that they think deserve it, they're not just going to sit down and take it, but you also again accept responsibility for that action. And they're not trying to convert people, which is always nice. They're not trying to convert people, and they don't have a bunch of taboos where, oh, you can't have sex, oh, you can't do this, oh, you can't do that. So far, I think they're pretty groovy in my book, right? There was, I'm just gonna skim it. I don't know if I want to read the whole thing. I don't suppose it would be complete if we didn't do a fall of Lucifer, regardless, the way that people do think of it. Skim the story a little bit. A lot of it just the top of my head. The story goes, right, that Lucifer was created. Well, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll back up. I will. When angels were created, they were endowed with beauty, intellect, will, and numerous other graces, according to the will of God. And each angel was given different gifts from every other angel. This is one person's version of it. In the case of Lucifer, he had the greatest intellect and the most beauty. And I've heard that time and time again. He was the most beautiful, the most beloved, the most intelligent, the most gifted, etc., etc. And I'm just going to preface that right away by saying, like, how can you blame him for what happened next? You made him the greatest thing of all. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Then he told the angels that they were supposed to worship and serve him. The good angels did so out of reverence for the Almighty God, but supposedly Lucifer and many other angels initially did this, but not because they really wanted to, but out of a sense of duty, and the seed was sown for rebellion. So God tells them he's going to create this lower life form, humans, and that the angels were supposed to assist men in man and all of his endeavors. And he tells them ahead of time how at some point he's going to become one of these humans, and they were supposed to worship him and adore him in his human form. And also, the woman that he would go through as the virgin was to be the queen. And Lucifer apparently didn't like this, according to some people. And a great sign appeared in heaven at that time, which is the same one that St. John saw in the book of Revelation. A woman clothed with the sun appeared, with the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. Some say that's the 12 tribes of Israel. God explained to the angels that this was to be his future earthly mother. He would pour through her womb. Apparently, this angered Lu Lucifer, shouted blasphemies about it, you know. And God tells him that this woman is going to destroy him, which just makes it worse. So everyone else is just worshiping and blindly adoring, and apparently, Lucifer is just an asshole. And this is where the pride comes in. You can't make something better than me. That's not cool. And I am your most beloved. You know, maybe he was just feeling jealous and neglected. Why did you make all of us, and now you're gonna make these other things? And wait, now why are you gonna take away their free will? And because then we end up at the end of the story with him and Adam and Eve, and supposedly he mistook Eve for the 4,000 years later or whatever it is, Mary. So, aha, I'm going to destroy Eve. There. That woman didn't get me. So they made him sound stupid, too. Which is interesting because I think most of the tales say that Lucifer was the brightest and the most beautiful. And how can you not say that if you want to put that with Morningstar? I think you kind of have to say that. The brightest, the most beautiful, the most beloved. You give somebody an intellect and they're intelligent, they're gonna question stuff. As I research these things, there's just that common theme of like intelligence is punished. I don't believe this. I think they done did him dirty. Of course, if you even think it's a real thing, you know, a real spirit or a real, and anything but a planet or a description of a star, but I think they did it dirty. And it's knowledge. It's knowledge and free will. It's knowledge and free will. That's what I think. What do you think? What do you think about Lucifer? I think you should watch that TV show. I feel like there was something else I was going to cover in this second time I was recording it. Like, okay, we're going to make it better. We're going to make it better. But I think I lost one of my pages. Well, regardless, I think I did a pretty good coverage so far. And if you want to hit me up about this, I don't know, if I come across more stuff and connect him to other things, I might do a follow-up episode. Oh, hang on. I did find the one web page. For some reason, I kept skipping it. I wanted to do a little better about describing Luciferianism. Lucifer, you're never going to be able to say that fucking word. Luciferianism. Why is that so hard? I want to say Luciferianism. Somebody help me. Somebody tell me how to say this. Luciferianism. God, why was that so hard? That's it, right? Luciferianism. Oh, now that I got it. Oh my God, brain fart. Okay. So, from Luciferianapotheca.com. This is their little introduction. Satanism is the rational focus on the self in relation to life here and now. This philosophy is based on carnal fulfillment and the consideration for the preservation of self. Magic is practiced as a type of ideological empowerment and psychodrama. Firstly, Luciferianism is a modern term for the ideological, philosophical, and magical, CK, attainment of applicable knowledge and inner power. The type of knowledge is sought is through study, initiation, and the continual struggle for self-improvement through spiritual rebellion against the social concept of God and religion. Luciferianism is different from medieval magic and witchcraft, as Luciferian approaches the art as a psychological, subconscious, and conscious foundation. The theory of ritual magic is that the Luciferian understands that God's, bunny quotes here, air quotes, spirits and demons are the archetypical creation of humanity, that our subconscious feeds the type of energy in which these beings exist through. Luciferians thus seek experience and the darkness within to gain knowledge, wisdom, and power. Luciferianism is thus the ultimate spirituality, as it focuses on the growth an expansion of the individual and in a rational sense here and now, with a broad range of spiritual exploration as well. And that is quoting someone, Maskum Hul, Babylonian Magic. Another quote here is, Luciferianism is rooted in numerous magical traditions which express some specific aspect of, quote, the adversary. The adversary is actually perceived as being the light bringer, an empowering spirit in which the individual models their initiation on. So that's pretty cool. Basically, they're thinking of a divinity is within you, from what I saw as well. So they also talk about the left-hand path, which I think you should take that as it's not all fluffy bunny love and light, okay? It's not the usual. I used to hang out at this place, beliefnet.com, a long time ago. I saw that it still exists, and like in the 90s. And there were some people that were very love and light and never touched the dark side. Like, you couldn't even do shadow work. If you know what that is, you know. And I don't agree with that because it should be about balance. So I have no problem with Luciferianism as at this point. And look how easy it is for the most part for me to say now that I figured it out. Blah. So the left-hand path for Luciferians is not a specific doctrine, but it is an aspect of who they are. Luciferians are against the social concept of God and religion, as both is a collective sheep herding doctrine which suppress knowledge, reward weakness and apathy, and place unrealistic expectations on the individual for a future reward that they don't think exists anyway. Luciferians do not accept the concept of good and evil. We hold the opinion that, like in nature, darkness empowers light, and light establishes growth and renewal. I was quoting. They don't believe in an afterlife in the way Christians do, but that doesn't mean they don't believe in the possibility of some existence, of some type of afterlife. but they don't necessarily think it has to be this absolute blissful paradise, or they also don't think there's some horrible place of punishment where demons torture you. Their language here is quite succinct. They don't believe in a place that torture those who do not recognize the executed criminal turned savior as his perceived father. In short, you will be hard pressed to find a Luciferian who believes in the devil and in hell. While it was the rage in a time of the masses having no literary skills, little science, and overbearing masters, in our modern age of possibility, that wonderful light is being shined in areas that early Christians would surely burn us for now. And they talk about how, you know, Lucifer is pre-Christian. I think we've covered that. They mention the Hellenic ruler cult is one of the great grandfathers of the ideological Luciferian foundation, albeit taken to an individual level, where each individual cultivates a demon, DAEMON, not the same as you think, or genius, which is a esteemed possibility of self. Excellent. The daemon is the true will or higher self or holy guardian angel, which is not something outside of you. It's the continual spiritual possibility of what you wish to be. The daemon is made strong by seeking to perform your will and continually evolve, and they call this ascension. So it's pretty cool. I mean, the more I look at it, basically they're about higher knowledge, and they have specific means that they like to seek it. But I don't think they're going to kick you out if you don't do it exactly like them. And I'm sure, like most human groups, there's going to be some who don't do exactly what these people do, etc., etc. But I don't really see any problem with this. And they're not going around trying to convert anybody. And I like the fact that it's self-responsibility and relying on yourself and seeking balance. And I'm pretty sure I can hang out with these people and be relaxed and groovy. There, I'm glad I found that because I wanted to get more succinct and not just throw out a few words and get it totally wrong and have people misunderstand them. Okay, I think I am finished now. Thank you for listening. If I come up with some more cool stuff about it, because these themes are in my head, I am an author and I don't want to spoil. And no, I didn't write a book about Lucifer, but I guess it wasn't true when I said that this had nothing to do with anything else. I have something coming out soon. Are you intrigued yet? No, it's not about Lucifer, but it's got some paranormal, supernatural, and it's got a vampire as well. I would say it's an urban fantasy romance, male-male. And yeah, stay tuned for that because it's coming very soon. It's called Dark Wings. Meanwhile, find me on Twitter at PodPinky. You can tell me if I'm full of shit. Just be nice about it. Or, you know, I'd prefer it if you just say hi and or correct me if need be. SRoyt@pinkysquarepress.com. You can always email me. TikTok. S_Reut. And please come to my website, pinkysquarepress.com, where all of the updates are all together. Stuff about my books, stuff about the podcast, blog, photographs, all the stuff, all the things I do. Thank you for listening. Poop, 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 bam.